Welcome to the Erie First Podcast, the weekly message series featuring Pastor Nicole Schreiber. We've been digging deep into the practical aspects of prayer in a series called Let Us Pray. In the first week, Pastor Daniel Brooker looked at the difference between praying for the things that we want versus praying for God's will to happen in our lives. Last week, Pastor Nicole reminded us about the need to pray when we feel far from God. Our own mistakes don't disqualify us from our relationship with God. In fact, those are the moments we need to pursue God even harder. Today, Pastor Nicole is wrapping up our series by examining the things we don't want to pray for. Sometimes we think we can handle all our issues, and we try to fix our lives ourselves instead of turning to God. We'll see today that prayer is not where we go to seek control over our issues, but rather prayer is where we surrender control to God. So let's get started and conclude our series, Let Us Pray. Here's Pastor Nicole.
You know, we're in a series called Let Us Pray, and we're looking at a really practical way for our prayer life to take off in 2024 in a really significant way. And we had a few extra elements that we've thrown in this series I want to remind you about. First of all, we have prayer nights scheduled the entire month of January on Wednesday nights from 6:30 to 8. We've already done two. We have two more, and then prayer continues the first Wednesday of every month right here in the sanctuary. So we did a little four in a row so we could get in a good rhythm. But don't forget, we pray the first Wednesday of every month all throughout the year. And so you want to make sure to get here to at least one of these prayer nights. Last Wednesday, the youth led us in prayer, and it was incredible. And so start your year off with a new focus, watch what God can do, and make sure you schedule those into your week. Secondly, we created a Let Us Pray photo booth in the main lobby. That video showed you a little bit about our hope of how we will interact with it. This is just a great way to interact with your church family regarding prayer. So stop by after service today in the main lobby. If you don't want to be in the picture by yourself, con the person next to you into it, okay? We just want to interact with prayer and think and talk about these different things so that we can really get our prayer life off to a good start this year. So the first week, Pastor Daniel completed the statement, I pray for. And he talked about all the different things we can pray for. And last week, I looked at the statement, I pray when. And we talked about when we should pray, specifically when we sin. We should pray prayers of repentance to get us back right with the Lord. And today, I'm going to finish this series from a little bit of a different angle, and we're going to answer this statement. I don't pray because. I don't pray because. So right now, I'm not going to make you tell this to the person next to you, unless you want to today, but I want you just to take a moment and answer this question just to yourself. You might want to jot it down or write it in your phone. I don't pray because when or what reasons you find yourself not praying. Go ahead and just think about that for 30 seconds right now. I won't put anyone else on the spot but Pastor Andy, because he's used to it. What was your answer? I don't pray because.
I was thinking about because when I get overly emotional, and it's hard to pray in that moment, and I have to like really push myself to seek the Lord when I'm really angry about something or really sad about something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's good. I thought of these answers. I don't pray because I'm afraid of the truth. I don't pray because I don't want to hear the answer. Everyone just go, ooh, right? I don't pray because when I do, nothing seems to happen. I don't pray because I'm busy. I don't pray because I can handle it myself. Today, we're going to look at a few of these things that keep us often from not praying. And I want to start, of course, in the scripture in Exodus 17. Let me set up for you what's happening in this scripture. I asked Pastor Andy to stay up here today so he can help me read the scripture today. But in this particular passage, the nation of Israel, this group of people, had been in slavery for a long time. And in fact, they were recently rescued from this very, very difficult time, this very, very difficult life, but they were enduring yet another attack. And this is where we pick up in Exodus 17, verses 8 through 13.
The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands. So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses and Aaron and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it up under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword.
Okay, so here we see Moses, Aaron, and Hur, and that's not referring to like her, a woman, okay, it's the guy's name, Hur. They climb to the top of a hill. And they want to be able to see what's going on, and they want to pray. And so the hill is getting them closer to God. They get as close to God as they can. They climb up to the top of the hill. And in verse 11, it says that Moses held up his hands. Now, in the original language, this phrase describes the Israelites' posture for prayer. So we know that Moses is praying because in the culture that day, that's what you would do to pray. You would know a person is praying if their hands were in the air. And so the first important thing that we should notice here in this passage is what does Moses do when the battle breaks out? The first thing that Moses does is he goes to the hill. He goes to the hill to battle in prayer. Now, Moses didn't always think this way. You might think, yeah, of course he did. He was like God's best friend, you know? But what Moses wasn't always of this mindset. In fact, in his early days, he thought the only way to win a battle was to fight. In fact, in Exodus 2, we see that Moses watches an Egyptian man beating up a Hebrew man, and Moses intervenes, kills the Egyptian man, buries him in the sand, and hope no one notices. Moses responds to battles in his own strength with his own strategy. He sees something is wrong, and he decides to take it into his own hands. He beats the guys up, buries him in the sand, and says, well, that'll take care of that. But this time it's different. It's a whole new Moses. Moses comes into a battle, and he knows that the most important work, the most important thing that he can do is he goes to a hill and he prays as his fight. He prays in a victory. And so here's my question for you this morning. What happens when a battle comes to your door? What do you do first? Because I think sometimes we don't pray because we're frustrated with the battle. We're resentful of the battle. The first thing we do instead of pray is complain a little bit about the battle. Why is this have to happen to me? Why is this what I have to deal with? Then we decide we'll strategize out of the battle, and we think of all the resources and all the things that we can do and the people we can talk to and the places we can go and the things that we have that will make this battle go away. But then after we do all that, if the battle is still raging, then we say, okay, God, I've done everything I can do. Could you help me now? But we see it so different here in this passage. Moses does not do anything in his own strength or his own strategy. In fact, if Moses were preaching this message today, I think he would say this to us. You're gonna have battles. They're gonna come with your kids and your marriage and your finances and your health and your decisions. But when they come, find the first mountain and get yourself up it to pray. That's my advice to you. You get yourself up a mountain and pray, because that is where the battle, that's where the victory is found. All right, I wanna focus here on one particular verse. Pastor Andy, would you read verse 11 again for us?
As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning.
So I was thinking about this. Can you imagine the perspective, not from the mountain, but from the ground? So the men were fighting. They're engaged in combat. Soldiers on both sides were dying. Prisoners were being captured. Houses were being looted. Many of them probably had no idea what was happening up on the hill. In fact, they might have been like, where's Moses? Where is this guy? He's supposed to be our leader. All that they saw was they were winning. Oh, then they were losing. Oh, now they're winning again. Okay, oh, now we're losing. Okay, this strategy seemed to work. This strategy isn't. The soldiers and the people saw the natural. They saw what was happening around them in the natural, but Moses, Aaron, and Hur were engaged in the battle from the supernatural perspective. They were not carrying a physical sword, but they were defeating a very real enemy. And there was more going on than could be seen. Prayer was making more of a difference than anyone on the ground in the thick of the battle could see. Listen, this passage literally preaches itself. It puts me out of a job today, okay? Because we are literally seeing that what is happening in the supernatural is mattering so much to what is happening straight on the ground in front of these men that are praying. This isn't the only time in the scripture that we get a peek into how the supernatural directly affects what's happening on earth. In the book of Daniel, chapter 10, Daniel had been praying and fasting again for a victory of a battle, but he's not seeing the results. And an angel comes face to face with Daniel and addresses this with him in Daniel 10, verses 12 through 14.
Then he said, "Don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your request has been heard in heaven. I have come in to answer your prayer. But for the 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me, and I left him there with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia. Now I am here to explain what will happen to your people in the future, for this vision concerns a time yet to come."
Okay, so it's saying God heard Daniel's prayer on day one. There was more happening than Daniel could see. There was an unseen spiritual war going on, and this was affecting the prayer being answered. I mentioned this when I first began today. Sometimes we don't pray or we stop praying because we're not seeing the change that we're praying for. We're not seeing the change in people. We feel like everything is staying the same around us. And so we sort of give up in our minds and think, you know what? This just doesn't seem to be working. I don't know why I'm doing this. I don't know why I'm wasting my time. It just doesn't seem to be working. And in these two passages today, in Exodus 17 and in Daniel 10, do you know what we learn? Is that there is more than meets the eye. There just is. As I was preparing this message for this week, the Lord said to me, "I have a word for someone in this room today. God knew you would be in this room this morning. God knew you would be here even though we got 36 inches of snow this weekend, okay? And God sees you. And the Lord Jesus sent this word just for you. Maybe it's for more than one of you. This is the message that he has. The thing you're praying about, God is working on."
Come on.
The thing you're praying about, God is working on. The thing that you thought he forgot about, the thing you aren't sure he has enough power to change, he is more than able and he's working on it. I want you to know today that God specifically told me that somebody in this room needed to hear that and receive it in faith, that God's working on it. God's working on it. I don't know why you haven't seen it yet, but God does. And he's doing something about it and he's working on it. And there's just more than you can see. There's something called the supernatural that we can't always see. In fact, if you receive that word today, I actually saw my friend Sarah over here do this. Will you just raise your hand up in the air like you're catching a promise, like you're catching a baseball today, like Moses did when he said, "I'm going to pray"? I just receive it in Jesus' name. In fact, just say it out loud. I receive it, Lord, in faith that the thing that I'm praying about, you're working on, that you're doing something about it. Amen. Amen. So when Moses prayed, he raised his hands, just like we just did a moment ago. And like I said, in the original language, this was a posture of prayer for the Israelites. But the reason why it was a posture of prayer is because it is a symbol of surrender. Prayer is acknowledging, "God, you're in control of this situation. You're God. I'm not. You know best. You can do what you want. You can take things apart and put them back together. You get to choose the timeline. You get to choose the way that you answer the prayer. Prayer is not how you secure control. It's how you surrender control. Prayer is not how you secure control. If I just pray about this enough, if I just tell God the plan, if I just give him all my pro tips, this will all work out. Prayer is when you go to the Lord and you say, Lord, this is your show. And I don't know if I'm going to see it. I don't know if it's going to work out the way that I want it to. But Lord, it's your show. In 2005, there was a country singer named Carrie Underwood. She wrote a song. You might remember it. Sing along if you know it.
Jesus, take the wheel.
All right.
Take it from my hands, because I can't do this on my own. I'm letting go, so give me one more chance. Save me from this road I'm on. Jesus, take the wheel.
I was going to have Pastor Andy sing it, but I just felt like Carrie Underwood, no offense, did a better job. Now listen, I don't often, maybe have never suggested building your theology around things like this, but every once in a while, a biblical point is made remarkably clear by a country western song. Very rare, very, very rare. But prayer is not trying to control a situation or manipulate it. It's putting your hands up in the air and saying, God, you're in control. And I surrender to you. And that's what Moses did on the hill above the battle. Carrie Underwood made a fortune singing it. And we need to do it too. We need to pray like this. Jesus, I pray and ask for your will, your deliverance, your leadership in my life. I don't try to take control of what I think I need or how I think something can be fixed. I don't demand things about my life or my experiences. God, I won't negotiate with you. God, I won't tell you if you give me this, then I'll do that. God, you are just the boss. You are in good leadership and I trust you. I saw this recently and in light of this song, it made me chuckle. It says, Jesus next to all the wheels he took. Come on, that's funny. All right. Do you pray to give God control or to get it? Listen, what are you praying about that you are hanging on to so tightly right now? Prayer is surrendering to the only one who can actually fix it. So how do we pray like this? How do we pray and surrender? Well, besides literally, which honestly is a good place to start, in order to surrender, we have to let go of some things. And when you live a surrendered life, you give God the right to ask you to give up anything for him. Let me say that again. When you live a surrendered life, you give God the right to ask you to give up anything for him. In case you're not clear about what God is asking you to surrender, I'm just going to give you a few suggestions, a few good places to start. I really believe this is it's a very personal thing between you and the Lord. And if you ask him, he will gladly reveal to you what you need to surrender. But here's a few things I just would love for you to evaluate. I'm going to give these suggestions, and Pastor Andy's going to chase them with a scripture just to kind of walk us through each one. But the first one is this. Surrender control. Like we talked about, recognize God's leadership and authority in your life. The ironic part is that God is already in control. We just have to believe it, acknowledge it, live like it. He is working things out. He is doing it, whether we acknowledge it and give him credit for it or not.
Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose.
Second, surrender worry. Someone wise once said this, worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it gets you nowhere. Worry, it doesn't add anything to our life. In fact, it's always stealing things away. It affects our body, our mind, our heart, our spirit. It binds us up. It puts us in a position where we actually can't live the abundant life that God has for us.
Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God.
Third, surrender wealth. Money can become just so quickly an idol in our lives. We can place it ahead of God without even knowing it. And God wants to bless you, but you have to put money in the proper place in your life. God will take care of you. We have to surrender to the Lordship of Jesus with our wealth. Oftentimes, we do it with everything else in our life but that. But money is a lousy master.
Hebrews 13:5. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you.
Here's my last one. Surrender the future. As hard as we try, we can only live one day at a time. And when we try to live in the future, we often miss the right now. But each day is a gift, and we miss it if we dwell in the unknowns. And you can trust God with your future. He got you this far. He will not fail you.
Matthew 6:34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
So what do you need to surrender? Maybe it's one of these I mentioned. Maybe it's something else. Where do you need to be praying with your hands up a little more? And maybe you need to physically do this when you pray, just to remind yourself that naturally you're surrendering, so supernaturally you are too. God, here's my future, here's my wealth, here's my worry, here's the control I want to have on my life. God, it's all yours. I surrender it to you. When we look at how this passage ends in Exodus 17, it says, when Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone, they put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady until sunset. It says Moses' arms got heavy, they got tired. Listen, this shows us the job of praying through a battle is not the easy work. People may have thought that Moses ducked out of the hard things by going up to the mountain to pray. Moses isn't even here in the battle. He's just going up there praying. Listen, prayer is sometimes sweet and easy, and sometimes it is hard work. Sometimes it is laboring fervently. And in Exodus 17, when Moses got tired, Aaron and Hur held his arms up. They literally held his hands up in prayer. They partnered with him. They prayed alongside him. They took on the burden that Moses had. You see, the victory was going to take more than Moses. He could not win this battle of prayer on his own. He needed other people. Again, this passage is so good. This preaching is so good. It's working me out of a job today. You just read it. It says right there, it is so valuable and necessary to ask others to pray with you, to ask others to intercede with you. Maybe you're here this morning and you might think, you know, yeah, but I'm private. Like, I don't want to share my stuff. Then people will know my stuff. And they'll think about my stuff, and they'll feel stuff about my stuff, and then I'll feel stuff about them feeling my stuff. You know, listen, you need others to hold your arms up. You do. You might think my prayer request feels kind of stupid or trivial compared to someone else's. There's no way I can ask someone to pray for me about this when someone else is battling something so big like that. Listen, God cares about all the little things and all the big things, and you need others to hold your arms up. You might feel defeated by something you're currently facing, and you might come into this building week after week and read your Bible, and you're on a serve team, and you have never asked anyone to pray with you about your thing. Listen, you are not an inconvenience. You can have a bad day once in a while. When you come here, you don't have to act like you're strong or put on a happy face here. You need others to hold your arms up. Maybe you say, I'm always the one holding someone else's arms up. You need someone to help you. That's what this scripture is saying. Because here is what happens when we surrender to God, when we hold our arms up, and when we ask others to help us. Here's the result. Verse 13. So Joshua, this is the guy on the ground fighting the battle, overcame the army with the sword. There was victory. When we do this in prayer, there is victory. Would you stand to your feet this morning? This is what we're gonna do. Would you put your arms up like this? This is a posture of prayer, signifying surrender. We're gonna worship today. We're gonna pray today. I want you to find someone to pray with. There's tables here with prayer people. Maybe there's someone next to you. Maybe you've never met them before. Just be like, she told me to ask you. All right, they're gonna say okay. Maybe you want to come to this altar space, and this can represent like the mountain, like get to the mountain to pray. Here's the mountain, the closest you can get to God. You get right up here to the mountain and you pray. But we're going to worship today, and we're going to pray, and we're going to surrender. We're going to let Jesus take the wheel. Thank you, Carrie Underwood. And we are going to say, Lord, we trust you with our future. We trust you with our finances. We trust you with the thing we're worried about. We trust you with our relationships. God, we trust you. And instead of not praying about those things because we're frustrated or we don't see something happening, God, we're going to pray about them and we're going to trust you for the outcome. And we are going to see a victory today. Church, let's make a count this morning. Let's worship today.
You turn.
Thank you for listening to the Erie First Podcast. We'd love it if you give us a rating and a review on your podcast app, and please subscribe so you never miss a message. You can follow Erie First on Facebook or Instagram, or visit eriefirst.org for all our latest news, announcements, and information. Thanks again for joining us. We'll see you next time.